The anthropological selection for intelligence does not also simultaneously select for species traits that support ecological sustainability. But the point is very important to understand, actually, especially when you're looking at why are human beings being slated for annihilation and genocide as part of an effort to, quote, save the planet? Mm-hmm. And in order to answer that question, you have to understand what causes the rise of intelligence in indigenous species. And to do that, I actually divide it into two different classes of intelligent species. You have dolphins in aquatic ecosystems, of course, and then you have humans and similar, high intelligence other species like elephants, which are the species that have uses of tools. For example, elephants have their trunks as very amazing tools. Trunks are almost the ultimate tool for grabbing and grasping and using things. And if elephants had multiple trunks, they would be far more adept at tool making than humans. In fact, fingers and hands and arms, as humans have them, are not nearly as flexible and diverse as trunks. Now, dolphins don't have limbs for grasping things. And understanding the difference here, on land, it involves, for humans, the tilt of Earth's axis producing seasons. Whereas in the ocean, you don't really have seasons in the ocean. You've got food year-round if you're a dolphin, or if you're a whale, or some other mammal. Your climate of the ocean doesn't really change that much. You can always get food. But if you are a land-based mammalian species, such as Homo sapiens, then you need to adjust to changes in seasonal climate, which is caused by none other than the tilt of the Earth. In other words, the relative off-axis the rotational axis of Earth compared to its orbital axis or orbital plane around the sun. So Earth's tilt is, it might be 23 degrees, maybe it's a little bit off of that, but it's something in the 20s in terms of degrees. And what this causes is winters and summers. And why do winters and summers matter to the development of intelligence? Well, if you have a long winter and you don't have intelligence and you don't have planning and you don't have tools manipulation capabilities, you will die from starvation. And so human beings or Homo sapiens who were selected through natural selection to live in more harsh climates that endured long winters, they tended to develop very high intelligence and to develop tools and long-term planning skills. Similarly, humans who live in climates that are very close to the equator have very poor planning skills because they never needed to plan ahead because food was available year-round. So if you look at a map of the average IQs across the planet, you will notice that the lowest IQs by far are located in regions that are close to the equator. This includes Africa, which has the lowest overall IQs, India, which has very low IQs, but not quite as low as Africa, and some countries in Central America or South America, which are close to the equator. Now, the countries around the world that have the highest IQs are countries that have the harshest winters. So there are higher IQs in Canada, higher IQs in parts of Northern Europe, and Denmark, and Switzerland, and so on, and Northern Russia, Northern China. And also, by the way, some populations at the southern tip of South America, because they also have a harsh climate. So you have intelligence that is spread out geographically to the more severe regions of the planet, where there is a harsh winter that you've got to be smart to survive. Survival intelligence develops in a way that actually does not include sustainability of the ecosystem. In other words, natural selection for survival of Homo sapiens in harsh climates tends to select those who are able to most effectively manipulate their local environments, even at the point of destroying local resources, in order to achieve their own personal survival and reproductive success. Now, translated into simpler terms, it means that just because you're smart and know how to survive doesn't mean you know how to take care of the local ecology to allow it to be sustainable. In fact, personal survival often comes at the expense of ecology. For example, to stay warm in the winter, let's say you have a wood-burning stove in your house in, I don't know, Argentina or somewhere. And so you have to burn wood, so you have to chop down trees. Well, if everybody does that, then you're destroying the rainforest there, or maybe it's not a rainforest, but other type of forest. And So you're cutting all this wood, you're destroying the ecosystem, but you are surviving. So in this way, survival is, it really stands in contradiction to ecological sustainability. Whereas people who live closer to the equator, though they may be lower in IQ on average, they tend to live in greater sustainability with ecosystems. Why is that? Because they don't have to kill the local ecosystem in order to live off of it. They can harvest food each day. They don't have to cut down trees to stay warm because the temperature is just about right all the time, year-round, more or less. They have constant renewable production of the materials that they need. And so they don't have to destroy local resources to the point of annihilation. So these are the trade-offs. Again, people who live in more harsh climates tend to be more intelligent, but tend to not be into ecological sustainability. But people who live closer to the equator tend to be lower IQ, have poor planning skills, but not need planning skills because they have all the raw materials and all the foods that they need are produced every day in a warm, often rainforest type of ecosystems or mild climates. So the fact that the Earth's axis is tilted relative to its orbital plane around the Sun gives Earth the conditions that would give rise to intelligent species that live in more harsh climates. And getting back to elephants, by the way, I think elephants would be even more intelligent if they had to endure more harsh winters, by the way. They're already very intelligent, but it's possible if they had a tough climate, even tougher, they might have even more tools and they might have even exceeded human intelligence, and elephants might be the dominant species on the planet for all we know. The fact that most elephants live in climates that are relatively mild means that the rise of their intelligence was more associated with social interaction. And this is also true among dolphins, where intelligence is an emergent property based on partner selection for sexual reproduction. So in other words, social circles. As the selection of a mate became more and more important in the history of the evolution of species, there were more complex behaviors that developed and more complex mental models, i.e. intelligence, in order to either project those frames of reference to potential mates or to persuade potential mates to mate with you in acts of sexual reproduction. And note, by the way, there is no transgenderism among dolphins and elephants. There are only binary genders, and sexual reproduction is the sustainability of the species. So intelligence can arise from basically two kinds of situations. One is social pressures and selection for sexual reproduction, and the other is harsh climates and the need for development of tools and long-range planning in order to survive the harsh climates. Humans are in the latter category. So the high IQ humans in the world are survivors of very harsh climates, and the climates are only made harsh because of Earth's axis tilt relative to the orbital plane. If you go around the cosmos and you look for intelligent species, you would tend to want to look at planets that have an axis that is divergent from the orbital plane. Why? Because you would have more harsh winters, and you would therefore have natural selection pressures for more intelligence to survive the harsh climates, and you would then have the development of tools, and from there, maybe organized agriculture. But the problem is, just because you're intelligent doesn't mean that you can sustain the planet. This explains why exobiologicals are right now working to annihilate humanity in order to save the planet from humans. Because they see human beings as being highly intelligent and very capable, but the exobiologicals also perceive human beings as being highly destructive to a planet that has natural value in the cosmos, because Earth is a real gem by any measure, including the measures of non-Earth biologicals. Earth has many properties that make it extremely valuable, including liquid water, the orbital distance from the Sun, the Earth's axis and orbiting moon, for natural defenses of the planet, the fact that the moon's rotational frequency exactly matches its orbital frequency around the Earth, so the moon always faces, one side always faces the Earth and the other side always faces away, making it the ideal platform for planetary defense, as well as planetary observation, and so on and so forth. There are 100 reasons I could probably give you about why Earth has incredible value, even to non-Earth entities. Thank you for watching. Mike Adams here for Brighteon.com, the free speech alternative to YouTube. If you'd like to express your free speech, join Brighteon.com today. It's free, and a lot of new powerful features are coming to our video platform, including subscribes and follows, video likes, and even Well, text messaging features in the very near future. A lot of exciting things are happening at Brighteon. A lot of exciting things are happening for America. Join us as we help defend this nation against the domestic enemies and terrorists who are trying to tear it down. Thank you for watching.